I am joined this morning by three members of Tri-Fi, the jazz trio performing tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall as part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. Details at the School of Music website, wmish.edu/music/events. Thank you for coming in, Keith Hall, Phil Palumbi, and Matthew Freese.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, Kara.
It's great to get together again. This is a really friendly sort of gathering we have here.
Yes, it is.
You, as Tri-Fi, you've played together for over 10 years.
Maybe 15.
15?
More like 15 yeah. now.
Ouch.
five or six albums at this point?
Five.
And the genesis of the group comes from your days in New York and working with a great singer. Is that right?
Yeah, we were working as the rhythm section for Curtis Stigers.
Yeah.
And
that's what brought you all together.
That's what got us together. And, you know, we were on tour probably 120, 130 days a year, just out on the road, the four of us driving around in a van. And I think we had a month-long gig at the Algonquin back in New York and had some free weekends in between. We're like, well, let's do something just the three of us. And it
let's
was just kind of a...
hanging out?
Let's keep... Yeah, we haven't seen enough of each other.
Good times.
And it just kind of started, but it's like a little experiment. And yeah. We just had so much fun, so...
But at the time, you were supporting a front person, mm-hmm. a front man, Curtis Stigers. And you kind of had to learn to... You know, adjust to a trio setting and sort of share a spotlight, kind of. And I guess it's not that impossible for the kind of musicians you are. Jazz players are so flexible, generally.
Yeah, I mean, we've all played with many singers. You know, we'd already done so many gigs with different groups. And so, I mean, that's kind of what you have to do anyways to put your career together is play with a lot of different groups and figure out how to adjust and adapt and... But when the three of us got together, there was another bass player that was in the band before Phil, and that didn't work out. So we asked Curtis to get Phil because we both liked Phil. Oh. Actually, Curtis had asked Matthew and I individually, who do you suggest? And we both said Phil.
And those
without
first
even
three guys
talking,
weren't available.
Right,
right.
I was open.
So
you were cheaper.
I was cheaper.
The best in his price range. Yeah. But so when we got together, it was just an immediate connection, and we just knew we had to do something outside of Curtis's band because it was so much fun to play. We just wanted to play more together.
Yeah. When you have a jazz career, of course, getting live opportunities to play is a top priority, but so is writing. Isn't writing a really, I mean, if you want to be a complete sort of player, you have to put your name down on some tunes. And this project kind of allowed all three of you to do that.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know that it's necessarily required, you know, for the job description, but it's definitely a you know, another way that you can personalize what it is you're playing. And, you know, jazz musicians are all about kind of having a personal identity and having their own interpretation of things. And so this is, for a lot of people, this is kind of a shortcut for doing it. And, you know, in our case, we all kind of are interested in that. And so that's what our trio has been from the very beginning, has been almost 100% original music that we've written ourselves. And
most of your students at Western, I know, you're encouraging them to write some original material. It sure helps you understand what's actually going on in a jazz tune.
It helps you organize your thoughts. I like it because you could write a song and then write to your weaknesses also. So come up with a good song, but, you know, if you have problems with sus chords, write a bunch of sus chords and force yourself to play the tune.
Like a Chopin etude.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
A Palumbi etude.
Yeah. It's a bunch of chord notes.
I should mention Phil Palumbi is bass player and Matthew Freese is on piano and Keith Hall, of course, is on drum set. And
not right now, but yeah. we will be.
The countertop can serve as... Yeah. Yeah, we're not set up in the studio with the piano and such. But if the music appeals, we're about to listen to some great tracks from their library of tunes. And the concert itself is tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It will be, as the Bullock Performance Institute series is usually a really great evening of music, not overly extended. It's usually, it runs without an intermission. Is that
correct? That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. And however, if you arrive a little earlier at 7 o'clock, you'll see the musicians interacting and talking about some of the things they plan to do, and you'll get a sense of their chemistry then too, as right now on the air. So, suggestions for what to hear first. So let's have a look at...
I threw out the idea of a tune that I wrote, Matthew Friess, that was on our second record, an album called Postcards. And this is the opening track from that record that I wrote. It was like one of those tunes that just kind of came out one day. Sometimes you labor over a composition for weeks and try to get it just right. And then there's other times when something just kind of comes together, like it was just kind of already made up in your mind and you just kind of let it out. This is one of those cases, and it happened to happen on Halloween, on October 31st, so I called the tune The Pumpkin, and since we've made it to October, I figured it might be a good place to start.
The Pumpkin, played by Tri-Fi. That is Phil Palumbi on bass, Matthew Friess piano, and Keith Hall on percussion. And they're performing tomorrow night on the Bullock Performance Institute series. And I know you're still deciding on your set list, but that's a great, great track. I think you might want to consider.
Is that a request? Is that an official request?
Yeah.
I want another shot at that bass solo. So that's
The Pumpkin, written by Matthew Friess, around this time of year.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Let's hear about something about your rehearsal process. I mean, you're kind of spread out these days. You can be. Let's hear about how new pieces come to be and how you refresh old ones.
Well, I guess I don't write as much as Matthew. Certainly no one writes as much as Matthew.
Sorry about that.
Most of the tunes in our repertoire are from Matthew, but in general, we'll bring in tunes to the band, you know, not complete, but for the most part complete. You know, here's the chords, here's the melody, here's what I'm thinking. What do you guys think? We don't sit around and write together, you know, jamming, looking for a new tune. So we bring in pieces that are pretty much ready to go, but then we tweak them. Between the two of those guys, they'll change chords and change things, and then I'll say something about rhythm or, I think a drum solo should go right here, and it's a perfect tune for a drum solo. Yeah. And
well, it's funny, we've worked together for so long. Like, I mean, it's one thing when Matt writes, you know, because he's actually playing the melodies, but I feel like for Keith and I, we kind of know what it's going to sound like. Like, you write a tune, and what's on the page might not be what you're actually hearing in your head necessarily. You just kind of get it close, and you get into the rehearsal, and I like on the tune Staring Into the Sun. I just put Keith, like, in 8 bars, because I just knew exactly what he would do there, and I'm not going to bother writing it out. So it's almost, you know, we know each other so
predictable.
Well.
You just kind of get
it. But yeah, you know, we got a thing. So you know what you put it on paper, approximate it on paper, and you know, trust in the trio to kind of, you know, bring it out.
Any thoughts, Matthew?
Yeah, no, it's I think Keith described it really well. That we have been doing this, you know, we kind of just know what we are going to sound like, and we come in with something prepared. And a lot of what's great about it is it's not necessarily just a like a lot of times jazz tunes are just basically a head chart, you know, just like a melody with chord changes. And then there's like a kind of a standard format that people play. They play the tune and then they play trade fours with the drums and then they just end on the last note. And what's nice about what we do is we kind of are a little more open with that. Like, okay, maybe we don't just stick to that. Maybe that we're going to insert a completely different section that the bass is going to solo over. Maybe we have something that happens melodically between other sections, or, you know, maybe instead of a standard back and forth with the drums, maybe we create a vamped section that Keith can, like on the last tune we just heard, there was like a vamp section that at the end of the tune, it turned into a drum solo and just evolved into that.
Sure. I heard that. It was three repeated chords that sounded to me like in classical music, you'd be hearing
I think there were four, actually.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry,
I missed one.
The educator in me, I have to correct.
Ostinato.
Did one repeat it, though?
Four.
That's true. That's
you know, it had
That's exactly how it is.
Quality of Baroque music, almost.
Yeah, we kind of get to explore that kind of those kind of textures a little more. There's a lot of things that we write that where we'll write some unison things for all of us to play together, or two out of three of us to play together, as, you know, kind of reactions to a melody that's there, or just that's kind of the sound of that section. And
well, then how in the world do you know you're done?
that's the question.
You have to self-edit on stage, or you're going to lose us.
Well, that's what, you know, that is a thing, the other side of becoming a musician, you know, what Miles say to Coltrane, you know, Coltrane said, I don't know how to stop. And Miles said, take the horn out of your mouth. You know, there's something about the self-edit process. That's the other side of becoming a good musician, knowing, you know, when you're done. We're still learning.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about interviews.
Yeah.
I've had to, over time, figure out that I need to think of it as a continuum of interviews, that I can't get it all done in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can't learn, I can't reach nirvana in one session.
Every hour,
Well, I guess it's true, because, you know, if you try to talk about every single thing that you could possibly talk about, you never actually end up talking about any of them.
Yeah,
really.
Same thing in jazz.
It's kind of it's the same in music.
You take what you have in the moment.
If you throw out every idea that you have, it's not going to sound like anything, and that's something that you kind of develop as you get older. Like we are.
Yeah.
How?
You know, that editing process happens while you're performing as well. While you're composing, while you're performing, while we're rehearsing the tunes, you're just constantly editing and taking things out and refining. And
It sure makes a difference when you're feeling the audience respond as well. They make a huge difference.
Well, yeah, knowing you have an audience that's listening to you, you know, really affects the way you play. I always loved, there was that, was it a 60-minute special with Joshua Bell? Where they had him playing, like, kind of busking, you know, playing outside of, you know, the escalator entrance to DC Metro, you know. And he'd never done anything like that before in his life. And he's, you know, he's ripping, you know, he's up there playing the fiddle and doing his thing. And people are walking by just completely ignoring him. And it was funny, you know, okay, haha, that's funny, Joshua Bell, nobody realizes it. But watching the way it affected him in that segment, you know, I thought, you know, he finishes this amazing thing. And then all of a sudden he looks around, he's just kind of like plucking the strings and... You know, the effect it has on you when nobody's paying attention, you know, it's like, you know, an audience is an important part of creating.
Yes, and I think it was like a couple of kids that realized that Joshua Bell was...
There was a couple of kids. My favorite was the person that walked up when they were interviewing, people are walking by. And he goes, yeah, I just saw him play last night with the orchestra. And I thought, wow, it must be really hard being a professional musician. That was my favorite.
That is funny.
Well, you can be an important part of the concert if you're there to see and hear Tri-Fi tomorrow night. It's at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. If you show up at 7 o'clock, you'll get a little preview of what's to come and some of the process that went into it. And part of the audience will be students. It's part of music appreciation class at Western. So kids with a whole variety of backgrounds, many of them not having been to a jazz concert before, perhaps.
It's kind of a wonderful thing that whole program that they have, because that series brings in a lot of different types of music.
Yes.
Not just jazz. I mean, there was an early music ensemble there a couple of weeks ago, the Dark Horse Consort.
Yeah.
I know there's some world music coming up. And you know, so it's a great opportunity for the students in that class. And that becomes this built-in audience. They also learn, because a lot of them aren't concert goers, so they kind of learn about concert etiquette, and they learn about the music they're going to be hearing. And then the interview you're talking about at 7 o'clock with Dr. White is basically him just kind of doing what you're doing, asking questions of the musicians. You know, what's your process? Why are you doing this? What are we going to hear? Mm-hmm. And it just adds another level of interest to what's happening on the stage. So it's a pretty amazing series that they have.
Well, maybe now's the time to hear another track from Tri-Fi, and I think we'll have Keith introduce this one.
This is a tune from our album called Three. It's our third album.
Very creative.
And I actually wrote this with my daughter, Grace, who is a freshman here this year.
Oh, wow. She's gotten older.
My daughter, Grace, is a freshman here. And so she came to me a few years ago with this melody, and it had words to it. I'm not going to sing it. But and she would go around the house, and she was kind of, you know, singing this little melody. And I said, come here. Let's get to the piano. I think we should write a song together. So we finished it together, and you know, we extended the melody a bit, and so that's our tune. So it's pretty special to write a tune with your daughter.
Did you tell us the title on this?
Sorry. And so she names it. It's called You and Me.
The tune is called You and Me, and it's written by Keith Hall here with his daughter Grace, and it's on the Tri-Fi album 3. If you just tuned in during the music, all the members of Tri-Fi are here in the studio at WMUK, and that includes Keith Hall, Phil Palumbi, and Matthew Friess, and they're performing live for you tomorrow in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. I guess I haven't quite gotten to the actual fact that two of the three members of Tri-Fi are also members of the School of Music now at Western Michigan University, a professor of jazz piano and jazz drums, and that's quite significant, especially for all the students here and for the musical scene in West Michigan. We get to hear you more often and in different sides of you, too. It's Well, it must be weird. You're carrying the jazz responsibility for some of, for this generation of students, and a lot of for our edification as well. I guess you're too busy to really think about that.
That's true. That is very true. Now, but for me, it's, I've been here a while. As you know, I think it's 14 years, I think.
Is it now?
Yeah. I mean, it's just 2 years full time, but I was adjunct before then for far too long. So I'm very grateful to be here full time now. But and Matthew just arrived a year ago. This is the beginning of his second year. And the opening was there, and Matthew was the logical first choice. And I'm so happy he's here. And for me, it's been great to have him here, but then now to bring Phil in, and for the students to hear us with our band, because to us, this is a really special group. You know, having been together for 15 years, 5 albums, all the touring, et cetera, and we're great friends. I mean, we're like brothers. And so Somebody said yesterday that there's a lot of ESP that happens on the stage with us. I think Scott Cowan said that. And it's true, because we just know each other so well that things happen and click, and we connect on a in a way that we don't really connect with other people, you know, outside of this group. So it's really special, but it's great for the, for me, it's great for the students to hear us with our band, something that we've been working on for years. And it's not just a pickup jam session. It's not just a guest artist coming in, like what they hear a lot of the times, but this is a real band. And even though, you know, honestly, we played a gig in June here, right? That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But before that, it had been 2 years since we had performed together, because we had been so busy doing our own things and just spread out all over the place. And, you know, just life happens. And all of a sudden you look up and you say, man, we haven't really played together. And we played together like two out of the three of us, but not the three of us.
And not playing our own music.
And not playing our own music. So in June, we got together and dusted off some tunes and said, okay, this is fun. And we just did a couple of little gigs around Kalamazoo because they were here for my drum camp. But so tomorrow night, I think, is going to be really special, because it's going to be the first time we've actually done a big concert in over 2 years.
In a while, yeah.
And which means it's going to be really exciting. You know, like I said, there's a real strong connection on stage, but we get really excited when we get to play together. sometimes, at least for me, I have to, you know, we talked about self-editing earlier. I can't remember if that was on the microphone or not, but,
yes.
You know, I have to really edit, because I can play anything with these guys and they will totally have my back. I mean... Right,
and you're easily excitable.
And I'm very easily excitable, right? Around these guys, because they inspire me so much, you know. And so, you know, you just want to play everything. You're just excited, you know. It's like when you reunite with your old friends and you start reminiscing about you know, the good old times or stories, and you just get excited. Remember that time, you know? And that's kind of what we do musically. But then we bring everything, you know, all the experience that we've been having, you know, aside, you know, apart from each other. We bring that to it as well. So you have this history, and then what we've been dealing with individually, musically, in life, you know, I mean, you know, life is happening. And, Lord Jesus, it's happening. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night. I really cannot wait for the students and the public to hear us tomorrow night.
Which one of you, if any, has a tendency to, close his eyes and kind of get lost before waking up and realizing, I don't know, to pass it along or something like that? Does one of you tend to go internal for a while?
I don't think so.
Long drives.
yeah. I think, I don't mean to take over the microphone here, but for me, it's like we are so in tune with each other. We're looking at each other the whole time and connecting and laughing and rolling our eyes at each other and just having a ball that... So it's not like that.
The thing to look for tomorrow night when you're on stage and we're watching is the interaction.
For sure.
Is to see how quickly you can sometimes play off of an idea. So listen for tune elements, tune fragments, and see who does what with it.
That's part of the thrill of seeing this music performed live, is that, you know, I know for myself, when I was learning about jazz, it didn't really start to make sense until I saw it happening. And you could see how the pieces fit together, and you could see, you know, the visual cues and kind of being aware of what's happening where on the stage, and that level of interaction. So it's kind of that's part of what makes the live performance a special thing, that, you know, you can listen to stuff on your car radio or whatever, or your home stereo as much as you want, but when you actually see this stuff happen, especially jazz, because it's so in the moment and every time it happens it's different, and it's so affected by the individuals on stage and the audience, like we were saying earlier, and so it's special anyway. And then what we're looking forward to is, you know, it being really special for us as well. So
Matthew Friess, Phil Palumbi, and Keith Hall are on stage tomorrow as Tri-Fi at 7:30. That's when music begins. You can arrive at 7 for a pre-concert introduction. It's a ticketed event. More information is available at MillerAuditorium.com. That's the ticket office there. Or you can arrive a little ahead and pay at the box office. Full information on the concert is also posted at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. And I just turned off my microphone with my elbow.
I was waiting for that to happen. Yeah. I was watching.
So now's a great time to introduce another track to take us a little further in the hour, and then we'll say some goodbyes and any last thoughts. But Phil, would you introduce this next tune?
Yes, this is a tune I wrote called Staring Into the Sun. I kind of evoked that feeling you get at about 7 p.m. in the summer when the sun is just starting to get down on the horizon and you're looking out over a field kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, very descriptive.
We heard a Phil Palumbi tune called Staring Into the Sun. It's the title track of Tri-Fi's most recent recording. And Phil is here in the studio in the last few minutes of the hour, along with his bandmates, Matthew Friess and Keith Hall. And we are still have a few minutes to preview tomorrow night's concert. A reminder that it starts at 7:30. It's a ticketed event in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets can be purchased in advance through the MillerAuditorium.com. box office or on the night, tomorrow night before the event. So guys, before we go out with some more music from the latest album, let's have a round of final thoughts, gather some interesting tidbits or facts that we might have missed, what you're looking forward to for tomorrow night. I can already tell you're looking forward to just being on stage again together.
Yeah,
really
absolutely.
Excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm staring at you, Keith.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're very excited. As I said, I felt like I kind of took over the mic there for a minute, just gushing about my buddies here. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're also, while Phil's here, we've also got him doing a master class with the Bay students on campus.
Great.
He's going to be making an appearance in a jazz appreciation class today. So we're kind of be showing him off a little bit while he's here as well. So he's kind of in addition to us being excited to be playing together, it's just really exciting to have, somebody of this caliber come in and share what he knows.
You have some very busy bassists in the program, but
I don't think there's such a thing as a not busy bassist. That instrument is just meant for being busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I did ask you a question off air when we first got into the studio, and that is, did you bring your bass from New York? And that's an interesting answer.
Well, when I drove out in the summer for Keith's drum camp, I just abandoned the bass here at Matt's house. He has a house. He had a tiny apartment in New York City, but now he has a whole house with lots of corners to stand basses up in. So I plan on every time I come out just leaving another bass of mine.
All right. Sort of beached it in Kalamazoo.
Yeah. With the hopes that, we're going to do this more often. 2 years is not going to go by again.
No.
So I could just leave my bass out here and fly out instead of making that drive.
Mm-hmm. Anything you're excited about beyond this concert, Keith?
It's funny you should ask, Kara. That's a lob of softball right there. Yes, next week, our Jazz Masters concert series will be on October 11th, featuring legendary drummer Billy Hart, who's had this amazing 25, 26-year affiliation with our university. He was my teacher. He's my musical father. And he'll be there playing with most of the jazz department. Almost all of our students will get a chance to play with him on stage that night, including the faculty. We'll be featuring all of Billy's original compositions.
I'm nervous about talking to him next week because he's such a legend. Is he nice?
He is so nice.
Okay.
He is so nice.
You're going to have so much fun. Yeah.
And he can really talk forever if you get him going. I mean, he just has so much to share. He's so generous with his knowledge, and he's so passionate about the music. And
we're talking about a concert next Thursday night.
Next Thursday, October 11th at 7:30. advanced tickets are available at Miller Auditorium, and those are discounted. So I highly recommend getting your tickets beforehand. Then you won't have to stand in line. You can just walk up to the table and give them your name and walk right in. And there are no reserved seats. So you'll have a, if you've got those tickets purchased, get to the will call table and then find your seat. So it should be a fabulous night.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be there.
I expect it to be packed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it should be a celebration too.
Huge.
Not just a concert, something a little more. Because he created family by returning for so many years to
Yeah. There'll be a lot of surprises that night.
Okay. And a great way to get started and enjoy, get your jazz juices flowing is to hang out with Tri-Fi tomorrow night in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. I want to thank Keith, Phil, and Matthew for joining me today.
Thanks
here
for having
WMUK.
Us.
Yeah.
Thank
Pleasure
you, Sarah.
Who wants to talk about this last tune, Clockwork?
Let's all talk at the same time.
I don't know if our listeners would appreciate it.
Go ahead, Matt.
So we're going to just finish up with one more track from our latest record. We heard the title track, Staring Into the Sun. This is another tune from there. It's entitled Clockwork.